Open your Bible today to Psalm 121. And Psalm 121 is the second psalm in the series of 15 that we spoke about yesterday, the psalm of the pilgrim, the pilgrim songs, sometimes called the song of the ascents or the song of degrees, the going up. And we said at that time that it speaks of the pilgrims, the worshipers going up to Jerusalem on their pilgrimage on the holy feast days of Israel. And these psalms would have been sung during that time. Now, today's psalm, Psalm 121, is especially a psalm of preservation. And preservation in the context of what I just said would be in connection with their journey, their travel up to Jerusalem. Of course, there can be a spiritual application to ourselves because it's the same Lord that preserved them and helped them and kept them will keep us as well. Now, there's a translation correction that we have to make at the very beginning to get the understanding of it. Our authorized version translates verse 1 and 2 this way. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord or from Jehovah, which made heaven and earth. Now, it makes it look like that our help is coming from the hills or from the mountains. But that's not exactly what the Holy Spirit originally wrote. That's not the proper translation of the verse. Let me read it from the New American Standard, or you could read it from the Darby translation, or basically any of the newer translations. It goes like this. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains, semicolon. From where shall my help come? Question. My help comes from the Lord. So the looking up to the hills and the looking up to the or the looking up to the mountains is not a looking for help. As when the pilgrim drew towards Jerusalem, they would see the mountains before them, and their heart could sort of flag or become faint with the thought of trying to make the journey and looking at the mountains. But then we get the question, in view of those mountains that are before us, the psalmist says, from where shall my help come? Where would their help come in order for them to be able to overcome this mountain that was before them? And the response is, the Lord is my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And that really sets the tone for the psalm, because the psalm is the psalm of the Lord as being our keeper or our preserver here. And so we may have, as believers, mountains in our life. We have big objects and obstacles in our way that when we look at them, we say, how in the world am I going to overcome this? How am I going to make my way over this difficulty? And so it's not a looking to the mountain for help and to the problem for help. That would be nonsense. It's looking to the Lord for help to overcome the mountain. And for here, Israel, it was a literal mountain. For us, there may be problems, situations, difficulties, things that are, you know, very difficult for us in our lives that would cause our heart to tremble and to faint in the way. But we can look to the Lord. Our eyes are to be on the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You know, there's a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, that goes along this line. And I'll read it in the authorized version. He says that the Lord God, the living God, is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now, the word there, Savior, actually should be translated the preserver. You'll note that if you have the Darby translation. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10 in the Darby translation, that the living God is the preserver of all men, especially of them that believe. And this is exactly what we have in our psalm. Notice in verse 3, it says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Six times in the psalm we get the word keep. Verse 3, he that keepeth you will not slumber. Verse 4, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. then verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. And that word preserve there can be translated keep. It's all the same word in the Hebrew. And then the end of verse 7, it's connected with the soul. He shall preserve or he shall keep thy soul. And then verse 8, the Lord shall preserve or keep thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth forever forth and even forevermore. So we get two things, the keeping of our soul, but also the keeping of our physical frame, our body. And this is where I connect 1 Timothy 4:10, that he's a preserver of all men, especially of them that believe. Now, obviously, we don't believe in divine healing in the sense that some people teach it. Some of the Pentecostalist groups and so on believe that the Christian should never get sick and all of this type of teaching. Well, that's not true. But nevertheless, we can look to God in our difficulties and even in our physical infirmities, and he will keep us and preserve us according to his will, as his will permits. And then we have the soul. He will preserve our soul, and we need this, brothers and sisters, so much. You know, it says in the Epistle of Jude, verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and ever. Amen. He's able to keep us from falling. And we need this. We need to be kept in his presence in order to be kept and to be kept from falling. Now, there's another point we just want to touch on here. He says, the psalmist says in verse 4, behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord always is watching us and is awake. He's not asleep at the switch somewhere. His eyes are upon our life from the beginning to end. But I would say, very especially here, verse 4, we want to understand a connection with the people of Israel. Now, we can apply it to ourselves because we are his children. We can take these promises and so on. But the point is here, very literally, we have to interpret the Word of God first in its the way it's presented to us, historically, literally. This is the type of hermeneutic or principle interpretation that we believe in. We don't spiritualize it first or make an application first. We get the interpretation. The interpretation is there was a promise to Israel that the Lord would never sleep nor slumber in their regard. And haven't we seen this? How many despots and tyrants and dictators down through the ages have tried to wipe the people of Israel out? When you think of Pharaoh, in the days of Moses, when Moses was a baby, trying to kill all the infants, male infants of Israel. Or you think of Haman in the book of Esther, wanted to wipe out the people of Israel, and so on. And then through even our own history that we see in the secular world, apart from outside of the scriptures, with the Adolf Hitlers and so on, who would, you know, try to destroy Israel utterly. Yet God intervened miraculously and preserve them. And they're still here because he still has promises that he will fulfill to them. And this encourages our hearts as believers, as his children, that if he is so faithful to his earthly people, Israel, will he not be much more or just as faithful to us who are those who are partakers of the heavenly calling, who are his sons and daughters? Well, may the Lord bless you today and lay a hold of the promise in this psalm that the Lord is the keeper. He's our keeper, and we can commit our way to him, both when we go out and when we come in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.